This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, without a co-host, and feeling very lonely in the studio. So do give me a tweet, send me a mail. No, tweet me. It's much nicer if you tweet me at VanillaWeb. Use the hashtag BBunker. We do have another guest joining us on the phone later on in the show. We're really looking forward to speaking to Robert Richardson from the Grand Hotel in Folkestone there. But do keep your tweets coming, and we've still got loads of things happening. Just before the break, I was talking to Linda Garcia on the phone, and we were talking about productivity and some of the things that businesses could do and some of the learning points and some of the things that we'll have to do once this lockdown is over and we start to try and recover our businesses. One of the interesting things is on Friday I did the Business Bunker Extra show, and my guest on that show was Ben Pierce from Digital Beans. They're a firm based out in Canterbury, and they've introduced a really, really clever thing which is called yourlocal.delivery. That's the website, yourlocal.delivery, and for totally for free, there is no cost to whatsoever. They will put your retail business online with an e-commerce store branded in your name with all your products on it. All you've got to do is take the orders, take the money directly, which they will help you do, and then deliver the products. It's a fantastic innovation. Do check it out. Go to the website, yourlocal.delivery is the website address. You can find out all about it. You don't need any technical experience. It has no cost involved at all. And it's a great thing. And what it will enable you to do is if you run a retail business that hasn't adopted new online technology thus far, it's a great way for you to find out if this will be something that your business can use in the, you know, going forward in the future. So it's a fantastic initiative. Check it out. But also, it's a time now where we need to innovate, where we need to be creative in order to move our businesses forward and to learn from some of the things that have happened. Now's the time to experiment with technology. While we're sat at home with not much business to do because nobody's doing much business, now's the time to investigate what's available in terms of technology to help you run your business better. What's in, you know, and I'm talking about not just things to make your business work as a business issue, but things to make the administration of your business easier. Things like, you know, web-based accounting apps, new challenger bank credit cards like the Plio card or Coconut card or any of those other cards, Sterling or Monzo. All the things that are on offer, now's the time to start investigating them and seeing if any of them will make running your business easier, cheaper, more effective. Do take a look at it. I'd also be interested in hearing from anyone out there who's never really worked at home before and has now been forced to work at home, whether they think that once this is over, they may actually continue to work from home part of the time. Anyway, I'd be interested to hear that. If there's anybody out there that has kind of thought, you know, do you know what, this isn't too bad. Just on that as well, about home working, one of the things about home working is most of the home workers I know still do like to get out now and again. And that's one of the benefits of the rise in co-working and hot desking spaces, is that you can work partly at home and partly in a co-working space. And in the southeast of England now, there are lots and lots of co-working spaces, and they're all really brilliant. You know, there's Freeworks in Canterbury, there's Dragon Co-working in Medway, there's the Business Terrace in Maidstone, there's the House in Tunbridge Wells, I'm trying to remember them all, there's Neptune in Herne Bay, which is a new one. There's Coachworks in Ashford. There's Space in Rye. There's Stone's Throw in Crowborough, and the Design Works in Battersea even. You know, check them all out. In fact, we've got a blog and a directory that lists all the ones we know about. So if you run a co-working space and I haven't mentioned you there, drop me an email at hello@bizradio.co.uk and I'll add you to the directory. If you want to look at the directory, it's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/offices. Have a look at that, because I think more and more people are going to be working in this way when this lockdown is over. Excuse me, just having a slurp of tea. Losing your job obviously can be a huge financial hit, affecting your ability to pay bills and bringing about an urgent need to reevaluate spending. If you're at risk, there are ways you can protect yourself. There's a guide that details how you can prepare financially, gives you tips on minimizing the impact if it's happening to you, if you're impacted by a coronavirus or any other reason that you're losing your job, and outlines your rights to compensation. It's a fantastic blog. It's on the Money Saving Expert website. So if you want to look at it, it's moneysavingexpert.com/family/redundancy help. That's moneysavingexpert.com/family/redundancy help. Do check it out. It's a fantastic resource. The whole site is a fantastic resource, to be honest. Have a look if you're going to be impacted. And unfortunately, far too many people are going to be impacted by this. Unemployment is already accelerating at an alarming rate, sadly. We got to a point where we had almost full employment, and then all of a sudden the wheels fell off with this pandemic. And unfortunately, we're going to now spend a couple of years going back to the bad old days of having quite high unemployment, and that is really sad. I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson, really interesting conversation with Linda Garcia and Common Sense Advice. I wonder, though, in the current situation, if even a three-month emergency pot will be enough to keep many small businesses afloat. Will people want to spend on these post-lockdown and beyond? We're in uncharted territory. Absolutely, Tracy, absolutely. I mean, there's a number of issues here. You've got staff, or if you're a self-employed or a sole director of a company, your own wages. The government are trying to cover that. There are things falling through the cracks. There always will be things falling through the cracks. You know, there's almost as many different problem areas as people as there are problem areas. So it's really hellishly difficult to define something that suits everybody. Someone's always going to fall through the cracks. But on the whole, you know, there's a three-month help with wages. And obviously, if we're locked in longer, which I really hope we're not, but if we're locked in longer, then that will be extended. There's an issue with getting it to people. There are some things that have been mitigated to help with that, which is if you pay VAT, you don't have to pay VAT. And if you are self-employed and you're due to pay your income tax, you don't have to pay it. Both of those things have got to be paid eventually, but you've been given a break so that they don't have to be paid straight away. You should have saved money for both of those things, so now you have got some cash to keep you going until the cash actually comes in. But, of course, a lot of businesses have other things that they've also got to cover. So you might be covered by the business rates scheme. You might be able to get a grant, and I read out some of the things that are available earlier. But most people, their fixed overheads are things like leases on company vehicles, mobile phone contracts, and, of course, if you rent an office or a shop or a warehouse or whatever, yeah, you've got rental. What I recommend on the rental side of things is to write to your landlord and ask for a payment holiday. Just, you know, explain we're all in this together. Could they, you know, defer that until a later date? Some will, some won't. I've got a number of offices. I've written to all of mine. I had some interesting replies from some of them. Some of them have been very helpful and said, yeah, no, that's fine. You don't have to pay for a couple of months, which is, you know, easing the way forward for some things. On the whole, people can be helpful, but, you know, fixed overheads are a problem. And, you know, we're just going to have to knuckle down and try and work our way out of it. As I mentioned earlier, if you are a VAT'd business, there is a VAT deferral scheme. So let me just explain what that is. We'll support businesses by deferring value-added tax payments for 3 months. Every VAT registered business in the UK is eligible for this. How do you access it? It's automatic. No application is required. Every UK registered business will not need to make a VAT payment, which is normally due with VAT returns during this period. Taxpayers will be given until the end of the 2021 tax year to make good any liabilities that have accumulated during the deferred period. But VAT refunds and reclaims will be paid by the government as normal. So you'll get your VAT back from the government and you don't have to pay them. It's automatic. All you need to do is cancel your direct debit. If you pay by direct debit, cancel the direct debit with the bank and do so in sufficient time so HMRC don't collect the money and, you know, you've then got a little bit of cash. But bear in mind, you have got to pay it eventually, so you will need to accumulate some more money to pay that when it comes back on stream. And the deferral will apply from the 20th of March 2020 until the 30th of June 2020. So anything that's due in this period over the next 2-3 months, you don't have to pay. Cancel the direct debit. But do bear in mind that you will have to pay it eventually and you will have to find the money from somewhere eventually. Do check that out. Let me just try and catch up with some of the tweets that we've got coming in still. Who have we got here? Tabba Official, interesting point about working from home. I ran a free Zoom clinic last week to help with managing remote teams. And on the call, a number of businesses were saying they will consider remote working now. And she's got another session on that on the 9th of April. And you can DM Tracy Ann for details about that. Tracy Ann's Twitter handle is Tabba_official. That's TABA_official. Tracy Ann? I think it's been one of those things. You know, we've talked about climate change. We've talked about fossil fuel. We've talked about minimising the use of transport. But the government doesn't seem to have done anything with the most obvious answer to that of all, which is to work from home more. And I'm really surprised that, I'm not really, because I know what politicians are like, but, you know, it seems to me such an obvious thing that we could make concessions for people that don't travel, that don't commute, and that do work from home. And, you know, I do believe that, again, when the lockdown is over, we'll see a lot more people wanting to work partially from home. I don't think people want to work from home full time because that can be fairly soul-destroying if you don't meet other people. And whilst we're doing a lot of Skyping and Zooming and WhatsApping and everything at the moment, almost everything's a video call these days, which is lovely. That's great. I think that will drop off as we get used to seeing each other's ugly mugs on a screen. But I think Tracy Ann is right. I think a lot of people will think much more heavily about working partly from home in the future. Because of, you know, all kinds of things, cost savings and whatever. I had a tweet from Robert Richardson, who we're going to talk to shortly. He says, getting ready to talk to Vanilla Web on the Business Bunker Show in a few minutes. He's going to be talking about inspiring hospitality talent, the impact of the lockdown on the hospitality industry and what will happen when it's over. We're going to be talking to Robert fairly soon. Do keep your tweets coming in. If you are being made redundant, losing your job, as Linda said earlier, there's quite a bit of work going on, temporary work going on with the supermarkets. They're hiring staff. bearing in mind as well that in April, which is starts tomorrow, the new minimum wage comes into effect, and I'm doing this off the top of my head now. I think the new minimum wage for adults is going up to £8.72 an hour, I think. But minimum wage does rise tomorrow. But if you are being made redundant and you are losing your job, there are still some industries that are recruiting. Not many, but there are. So supermarkets, food delivery companies, health and social care companies are all still recruiting. And some technology companies, you know, as they put in home working type technology. You can check them out for locally on jobsinkent.com or give the guys in Jobs in Kent a call on 01622 761 704. Right. There's the very first Marsh Networking online networking meeting is taking place this Thursday, the 2nd of April. They say the Marsh Network will hold our first online meeting at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, the 2nd of April. Join us to discuss how things are going with your business, ideas you've tried and used to mitigate what's going on, offer support and advice to others, and hear information sources and other groups you can join to keep up to speed with the rapidly changing situation. To book your place on the online meeting, go to www.eventbrite.co.uk/Marsh Network Online Networking, and you can find all the details and tickets there. They've also got an app, which is the Marsh Network app. Our new app is now live, and it's a great way to see what events are coming up, see the contact details of those who have joined the app, have an online discussion, and profile your business. You can do that by going to www.marshnetwork.imobile.one. That's O-N-E. marshnetwork.imobile.one for Marsh Networking online. Okay. Do keep your tweets coming. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker. I've got yeah, that's a bit too long. Let me read this one. Hold on. I'm sorting through my emails now. There's a COVID-19 business support hotline. All the things I've talked about during the show, you can find all in one place, and they will also keep updated with new information as it comes out. The business support hotline is being run by the Kent and Medway Growth Hub, and it's now open. And if you have any questions about how you and your business is being affected through the coronavirus pandemic, then you can give them a call. The lines are open from 8:30 until 6:30 Monday to Friday. And here's the number, 03333-602-300. Let me give you that again. It's 03333-602-300. You can email them business@kentandmedwaygrowthhub.org.uk, or you can go to the website, which is kentandmedwaygrowthhub.org.uk. It's a business support line for any business that wants to know what all the schemes are, how to access all of them, or to ask any questions they have about where we are with business support during this pandemic. So do check it out. It's run by the Kent and Medway Growth Hub, and it's the Kent and Medway Growth Hub.org.uk is the website. I think we'll play some more tunage, and then we're going to get our next guest on the line and talk to Robert Richardson. What do you think? Sounds like an idea. Should we go for it? Let's go for it. Wonderful. Bit of Fleetwood Mac there. I'm hopefully joined on phone now by Robert Richardson of the Grand in Folkestone. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Cool. I just got to say, before we get started into this, you really have been impressing me. Robert's been posting on Twitter pictures of his meals that he's been preparing at home. Blimey, mate, you haven't lost the skill, have you?
Well, there's an element of time management there, because there's a bit more time to make dinner at the moment, so I thought I'd go all out, and I don't know, I'm clearly quite vain, because I like sharing these things.
Yeah, no, but the problem is, we're all going, cool, that's lovely, and we're all saying things like, can we come, and then we go, no, we can't, can we?
No,
we can't come
no.
and share it with you, unfortunately.
I don't know, dinner party when this finally
Absolutely. Listen, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show, Robert. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you, as always.
No, thank you for the invite.
As I said, you're the general manager of the independent hotel, the Grand in Folkestone, which is a fantastic, fantastic hotel. Tell us, first of all, how this has impacted the hospitality industry, if we don't already know, really.
Sure. I mean, using us as an example, pre the government initiating a lockdown, essentially the closure of hospitality businesses, we were starting to feel the change, certainly in the weeks leading up to the closure. Advanced bookings, daily trade was down dramatically, and obviously we still had liabilities such as salaries to meet, so it was becoming extremely difficult extremely quickly. Obviously, we needed to be proactive here, and we looked at reducing activity. We closed certain areas of the business. We increased home working, but cash flow obviously became a problem, again, being an independent.
Yep.
So we basically prioritised, first and foremost, salaries. Anything that was a non-urgent bill, we negotiated terms with our creditors.
Yep.
I myself took a salary freeze in favour of my team, and it really was a case of all hands to the pumps. It was a stressful time. I actually think, for me, 5 o'clock on, I think it was the 20th, Friday the 20th, when Boris Johnson made the announcement that bars and restaurants were going to close, it did feel like a weight had been lifted, because we'd been essentially figuring this out on our own, and now the decision essentially had been taken out of our hands, but it gave us a direction.
Yep.
I mean, for my own mental health, I was speaking to colleagues both locally and from London, and this was really useful, as it was giving me a perspective on this challenge, rather than it feeling very, very insular or very, very isolating by virtue of the fact that we are a standalone independent.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it, that, as you say, bizarrely, that once they've announced, you know, this is what's going to happen, am I doing the right thing here? You know, is this going to be over in 2 hours or something, and I've shut everything down?
And that's exactly it. It was a judgment call.
Yeah.
And some things, I think, we were running a bit close to the wire, so Mother's Day. Other things, we were taking prudent approaches. So we had shut a lot of our output down, future events, musical concerts, a potential mini car rally later on in the summer. Everything was being essentially mothballed by us because we really didn't know what to do moving forward, so we took a prudent approach.
Yeah.
I mean, no GM wants to close their doors, say no to their guests or furlough the team, and I'm genuinely proud that as I sit here now, we haven't laid anyone off. I know other businesses have had to take that decision, but we were lucky in that we didn't. I mean, what was key is that every stage we kept our team informed as to what was happening, and we have got a good team, and they all rallied round, and we collectively moved forward.
Yep, absolutely. Now, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because prior to this breaking, as I was saying earlier, in the UK we were heading towards kind of full employment. And you and I have talked many times, me with my Josin Kent hat on, and you with the fantastic work you do with the Institute of Hospitality, talking about trying to inspire people to work in the hospitality industry. And that was a kind of a difficult thing, because a lot of people have never really thought about working in the industry, or if they have, their perceptions of it were not exactly what it was all about.
Exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, and I know that you personally and the people that you work with have been working very hard to alter that perception and to show people the value of working and the fun and the opportunities and the career stuff. And, of course, then this hit. So from your point of view, what have you seen since the lockdown hit in terms of employment in the hospitality sector?
I've heard stories of businesses that have essentially made their teams redundant. Mm. I know there's been some layoffs. This is pre the opportunity to furlough the team.
Yeah.
It's been hard in that we've all, whether you are an independent like us or a multinational, mm. we're all to an extent making it up as we go along. There's no guide for this.
Yep.
And certainly, it's unarguable to say it's a defining time for our generation, and as employers, we're going to be judged by how we treat our people,
yep.
especially in an age where everything can be put on social media for the world to see.
Absolutely.
Over the last 14 days, I've had just under 200 CVs,
wow.
which is incredible, and yeah. You know, we do well for people wanting to come and work for us, but I've never had that much in so short a period.
Yeah.
I think we started off as a business. We had a strong year. In what I term our extracurricular activity, so inspiring people into hospitality, we'd had a strong year. January, we took 24 school-age students up to the Savoy. We did speed networking with them, and a couple of them actually landed work experience, and that was life-changing. Yeah. We had other trips planned, all of which have been put on hold at the moment.
Sure.
So I think, whereas we're a resilient industry, and we're definitely going to bounce back, people are going to be a little bit more cautious. So... Mm. If you're looking for a job post this, you will have in your mind what you're seeing online about how employers are treating their staff.
Yeah.
I mean, the story that's in my mind at the moment is Richard Branson and Virgin Airlines.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can't get away from that. And
yeah.
that's not something you you want to have hanging over you. So I think we've treated our team incredibly well. I think people, you know, how do we quantify that? We quantify that by the volume of people that want to come and work with us. So mm. that's good.
Yeah.
And I think... it will be almost like a buyer's market for job seekers when this is
absolutely
over.
Yeah. yeah
there will be a lot of people out there, and certainly it will be good for recruiters mm. but there'll be a lot of businesses out there needing staff yeah. and from our point of view, when we have this post-isolation market, which is what I'm calling mm. I think people will, we will as businesses certainly have to judge the consumer's mood, but people by and large are naturally sociable, and to be told to isolate goes against our instincts.
Yeah.
You know, over the last several years we've seen a move away from spending our income on the acquisition of things to the acquisitions of experiences, and post-lockdown I think people are going to want those experiences again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course we're going to need team members to service that.
Mm.
And I think for every application we get out there, there will be five other businesses wanting that person.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And on all the things you said, you know, I've seen some business, you know, the events industry in particular has been hit incredibly hard because
yeah, sure.
they've had to, you know, cancel or most of them, I don't think, have actually cancelled. Most of them have kind of just tried to shift it, mm. Shift their events to later in the year. Of course, the problem with that is they're all concacting into a smaller space of time because we're not really sure when this is going to be over.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so that's made life difficult. But there has been some organisations that have really not helped with that, you know, and have demanded, you know, that you pay cancellation fees and stuff like that, mm. which has forced a lot of event businesses to the wall, and as you say, people will remember that going forward in the future.
Absolutely.
You know, they're going to go, well, I'll never book in with you again.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a venue, we've been lucky in that leading up to the shutdown,
mm.
we were able to postpone or change the date of yeah. every piece of business we had, so we were yeah. very, very lucky, and that gave us at the time a shred of hope because
yeah.
we knew there'd be a way out of this.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, being grown-ups, we need to say it is an unprecedented situation, certainly in living memory.
Yeah.
And we can't accurately judge it because at the moment, to a huge extent, we're reactively doing the best we can.
Yeah.
And I think moving forward, we will need to get out of our comfort zones and accept things have changed.
Yeah.
Metaphorically, you know, we need to step out from under our umbrellas and risk getting our hairs wet.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think there's going to be a lot of changes, a lot of societal changes and a lot of economic changes going forward. I mean, one of the things that wouldn't surprise me, and talking as an outsider, mm. is with industries like hospitality, when you do start hiring again, when breaks are off, there's a lot of people going to consider working in your industry that wouldn't have done before.
Absolutely.
You know, because they've seen that there's going to be opportunities there. That's a good thing. That is a good thing.
Yeah. And again, it comes back to me to how you treat your people.
Yeah.
And we're actually having our first team Zoom meeting this Friday, which we're quite excited about because it's the first time, however vicariously, we'll have been together for a while.
Right.
But you know, we've informed our team what's going on. We've sought their advice. So pre the shutdown, we actually sat down with our team and said, "What would you like us to do?"
Yeah.
And we've been the, I think, the best employer we can be. And I've seen other examples of that with other employers out there.
Yep.
And it's fantastic. And the amount of people on Twitter and LinkedIn turning around saying, "What an incredible supportive employer I've got," is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And people notice that.
Yeah.
And when this ends and people are looking at employment, I think you're right, more people will flock into the industry, but they'll be looking at employers that have almost got the rubber stamp by their people to turn around and say, look, this is a shining example, this is a good employer.
Absolutely.
And I think parts of the business will be, parts of the industry rather, will be quick to react and quick to get back to where we were.
Yep.
Other parts of the business, travel and tourism potentially, will be slower to react because I think people will be looking at their travel destinations in relation to the virus. I think that's going to be a deciding factor now.
Yeah. I know this is a horrible question because you can't, yeah, who knows? But I just wondered what your thinking is here, Robert. When we are back, do you think people will go bananas and go, do you know what, we let's say we get back towards the end of the year sometime, do you think people are going to go, well, we're all going to go to Mauritius on holiday or something just to get over this? Or do you think there may be a, we don't want to get caught stranded abroad if this breaks again, so if we do go on holiday, we're going to staycation? Any thoughts on how that will affect the industry, you know, locally in the UK versus sure. travelling abroad?
Well, I think, I mean, I just touched on it now. I think a deciding factor for a lot of people will be how, where they want to go was in relation to the virus. So how many cases was the air, how did the area react?
Yep.
And I think that's going to be a deciding factor. Conversely, yep. people make memories. So they go to restaurants, they go to Mauritius, they go to Folkestone yep. because there's a reason to go there. And people will want that familiarity back.
Yep.
And they'll certainly want that comfort back. I think if we say the lockdown, and I'm just pulling a number out of the air, is 4 months, for argument's sake,
yep.
people will be stir crazy at that point and they will
yeah,
crave
for sure.
normality.
Yeah.
And I think that will be a huge factor in moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, we've not been able to go out to pubs and restaurants and all the rest of it. And again, I think certainly in the first few weeks when we're back, I think there'll probably be a huge outpouring of people just getting out of the house and going out for every meal or whatever.
I think it's the 3 or 4 weeks after that is when the test will be, and that's normality. I think it's a good time, essentially, you know, I don't know, to own a hand washing company because that's going to be a boom.
Yeah.
But people are going to be, they're going to want that back. They're going to want their life back. But after that, then we'll see what the world's like. And I think it could go one of two ways. You could have more, more extrovert people just wanting to appreciate things a little bit more,
yep.
or people that are just a little bit more cautious. And I think I can understand either side of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right. I think it will break down into those two things, won't it? But I think the thing that you nailed more than anything is how people have handled this with their employees and with their customers. I think that's going to be the selling point. I think, you know, I'm not one for the cancel culture or anything like that. I really don't like that. And sometimes that can, you know, work against you, as we found out with the fantastic people at Yorkshire Tea. But, how you treat people is something now that people are very aware of. And
I agree. Completely agree. And I think it's almost like we're going to be reviewed on how we act moving forward. And Richard Branson and Virgin Airlines, that's a shining example there.
Yeah, absolutely, so, yeah.
Throughout this, for me, you know, watching how people have reacted to the challenge has been amazing. Mm. We were saying just before I came on air that we've seen people that are now volunteering for the NHS or volunteering to bring food to people who can't do it themselves.
Yep.
I'm now volunteering for an amazing charity called Hospitality Action.
Right.
And essentially, I just have to talk to elderly people who are isolated or can't get out at this time, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Conversely, though, I've seen a rise in online abuse or e-bullying of businesses and individuals.
Yeah.
And you know, that's especially disappointing when you take into account people's mental health right now.
Yep.
Online abuse or the lockdown via the coronavirus these are things that are going to have a significant impact on people who struggle with depression or mental health issues, and really we should just be supporting each other. Yeah. I've had someone this last week, and it's someone that we don't allow into the business, and they've been tweeting to high heaven, did the management team at the Grand make a salary sacrifice? Don't make me laugh. And you're thinking, why do you need to do that?
Yeah, sure.
Basically, you know, you're not qualified to make that comment. You certainly aren't educated enough into how the business is running to make that comment.
Yeah.
Why do you need to do that? That's, you know, that's just a knock for people that are working hard.
Yeah, I find it very difficult. I try not to get involved. This will make some people laugh. I try not to get involved in those kind of debates on social media. But it's getting increasingly hard when people just put fatuous stuff for the hell of putting fatuous stuff. And you just think, you've got no idea what you're talking about. You've just got an opinion based on nothing, based on reality. And you feel the need to say that. What, why? You know, what point are you trying to make?
Exactly. And when you see the good that people are doing out there, and then you're looking at this minority that hide behind a keyboard and have to knock you down for no reason other than today they want to knock you down, you think there's such a diametric shift there.
Yeah.
But I suppose, you know, you could be grown up about it and say you need to see the bad to appreciate the good. So
I think one of the problems, one of the issues, both with social media, but it's also it's an outflow from our mainstream media as well, is we are based a bad news media kind of society, to be honest.
Absolutely.
And you know, one of the problems is there's so much good being done out there, but people don't tend to blow their own trumpet. You know, they don't come on and go, oh, I've just volunteered for this and done 14-hour shifts, you know, for nothing. You know, so we don't hear the good side as much as people that come on and moan and cast aspersions about other people. But the reality is, as a society and as a community, I think more of us have kind of have done good things and contributed good things and volunteered for things and supported and helped people a lot in very quiet ways that don't get recognised. And those loud people that make a noise and make a fuss and are rude and obnoxious tend to get looked at more, you know, and we mustn't ever confuse Twitter with real life. And that's the reality of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, for me, this has crystallised the good that people can do. Yeah. You know, collectively, we have our backs against the wall and we have come out fighting. And that's just fantastic to see.
Yeah. Absolutely. But Robert, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time out to join us. Do keep posting the pictures of the fabulous meals that you're concocting, because at least they're making my mouth water, if nothing else. And I'm gonna eat one of them one day. I know I am.
Well, you're very welcome. Anytime.
Robert, if people want to find out more about the Grand, what's your website?
Our website is www.grand-uk.com.
Fantastic. Check it out. It's a lovely hotel. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you very much.
Up on the cliffs there, overlooking the English Channel. Fantastic place. And we look forward to having our next event there when you're open again.
Great. Well, hopefully it won't be too soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Robert, thank you so much. Robert Richardson of the Grand. Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Now. Bye-bye. So, Robert Richardson there, the General Manager of the Grand Hotel, an independent hotel based here in Folkestone. It's a lovely, lovely, lovely place. If you've never been, once it's open again, do pay a visit. Fantastic. And we've had a tweet from Pecunia who says, Vanilla Webb, the Kent branch of the Chartered Institute of Credit Management will be looking to reschedule our conference later in the year, and we're going to be holding it at the Grand in Folkestone. A slight amendment to the conference to help businesses after the lockdown. You can find out about that by going to their website, which is Pecunia, that's P-E-C-U-N-I-A, Pecunia 2016, Pecunia 2016.co.uk. Check that out. And they're going to be holding a conference there. I've had another tweet from Tracy Ann Barker from Tabra Official. Corporate social responsibility is not just about for big businesses. Act socially responsible as a business will impact well on the business after the coronavirus pandemic is over. Being a good employer now will be good for business. Great to hear about all the good things that the Grand, Robert and the team are doing. Absolutely. He's absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It is about, and it's not just about image, but
it's about making sure that what you're doing isn't damaging your brand, isn't damaging your business, because it's so easy to do that now. As Robert said, you know, how the mighty have fallen, you know, people like Mr. Branson and Philip Green have virtually made pariahs of their businesses by not doing the right thing. And we won't even mention Sports Direct. I've got this that I want to share with you. I did share it last week on the Bunker Extra show, but I think it's such a good thing that it's worth sharing again now. And it was sent to me by someone that got it sent to them, and it's by someone that has well, let me read it. It's for those of you that are currently trying to homeschool your children. It says, I've been a homeschooler for 12 years, and I've posted this on Facebook today. As an experienced homeschooler, I want to let parents know that your elementary-age child only needs 1 to 2 hours of school per day. Your primary school child only needs 2 to 3 hours, and your secondary school only needs 3 to 4 hours. Please don't expect them to spend 6 to 8 hours of school per day. That is not how homeschooling works, and there are many resources available for you to use, so use them. Let them sleep in. It's good for their immune system. No need to get dressed. Talk to them about what they want to work on. Let them be part of the planning. Include 1 hour outside. The sun and the fresh air is, again, good for the immune system. Spend 1 hour at least reading. Chore time. Cook something together. A lot of homeschool maths is done in the kitchen, you know, weighing things, measuring things, following recipes. It's a stressful time for all of us. Don't make it worse by stressing about school. Be gentle with your kids and yourself. If it gets too frustrating, stop and walk away. Some sound advice for someone that has homeschooled for many, many years. It's really worth following that. We've still got tweets coming in. I've had a tweet from Street Soccer. Excuse me. Coming up on today's podcast show, our founder, Keith Mabbott, speaks with Daniel Wood, who's the co-founder of the World Freestyle Football Association, the world's governing body for the sport of freestyle football. That's going to be fascinating. So tune in from 3 p.m. You can follow them on Street Soccer CIC is their Twitter handle, and there you'll find a link to listen to the podcast. So do check that out. There's also something else that I'd like you to check out. It's a blog that we have, again, on the Kent Business Radio website. I'm going to give you an overview. There's a lot more information in the blog itself, so the blog itself is worth a read, but here's an overview. And this was written by Paul Goggin, who has over 20 years' experience in the IT industry, and it's some simple steps to work and collaborate securely from home. And he says, we're all dealing with a sudden huge change to the way we need to live and work. As someone who's evangelized about the benefits of remote working for some time, I have compiled this list of simple steps to help you and your team work from home effectively and securely. Productivity. Before you do anything, check that your internet works. Run an internet speed test. Anything over 2 megabit download and 0.5 upload should be fine. But check that your mobile phone contract includes unlimited data. Your monthly bill will show this, because if your broadband goes down or it's not fast enough, you'll be able to work online by using your mobile phone as a hotspot. But I have to emphasize, make sure that you have an unlimited data package. Otherwise, it will cost you a fortune. But quite often, 4G is better than your fixed broadband. But do make sure that it's covered in your contract. Save your files to the cloud. Saving files on your computer is convenient but risky. If your computer fails during this current crisis, your computer repairman will not be able to come and repair your desktop or your laptop. And of course, if you work in a corporate environment, you might be used to having your stuff automatically saved. That isn't going to happen, so make sure that you save it yourself. Hey, and why don't you do this? A morning roll call. Catch up with all the people that you normally work with in a group video chat for 10, 15 minutes each morning with the whole team. It's a coffee room chat, the kind of thing you would do if you were arriving in the office first thing. Why not all just get together, say hi, make sure everyone's okay, and chat regularly, send messages to each other during the day, chat like you would do if you were at work. There's lots more detail on the blog. Paul is an industry expert on cloud networking and working from home. His company is Innovo IT. His website is Innovo, that's INNOVO-IT.com, INNOVO-IT.com, Innovo.com. His blog can be found at thekentbusinessradio.co.uk/work-at-home. Read the full blog, but there's some great advice there on how to work from home effectively. Now, I know these dates might not work out, but I'm going to tell you them anyway. But if they are rescheduled, we will let you know. But we are still planning to run sometime this year the 30-30 program, which is a joint venture between Jobs in Kent and the Federation of Small Business, Kent and Medway. It's where business owners and managers join us on a 30-30 schools program to inspire the next generation of talent about the world of work. And the next events that we've got coming up are in June at the 100 of Who Academy, the Wilmington Academy, and then in July at Damascus School, Paddock Wood. As I say, those dates may well change, and I'm sure they will, but you will find the change dates and all the details about the 30-30 program at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/3030. So do check that out. I think that's that. Hold on a second. We've still got tweets coming in. We've still got some email stuff coming in, and we're fast approaching the end of the show, would you believe? I need to tell you, this is a shame. The Canterbury Business Awards were due last week. They are still going to happen, and there's a whole list of people that are in the finals, and I'm going to very quickly read out who the finalists are. And the awards, the Best Business Events, will be staging an award dinner, and I think it's going to be a combined awards dinner with the Ashford Award winners and the Maidstone winners and the Canterbury winners. But for the moment, here are the finalists in the Canterbury Business of the Year Award. THC Primary Care, Margate Football Club, I Do Marketing, Gillian Monk from All Health Matters, Barbara Bootler from Blue Fox Rentals, Lydia McEwen from I Do Marketing, Adriana Foster from Learn with Adriana, Mika Dugan, The Escapement Margate, Betteridge and Milsom, Grand Kinnear Property Consultants, James Clake Associates, Modus Construction Consultants, Red Key Concepts, Blue Fox Rentals, Brambles Bed and Breakfast, Secret Spices, Time and Tide Brewing, Healthcare Limited, Pentins, The Coaching Lab, All Health Matters, Betteridge and Milsom, Horizon Scan, FAR Skate Foundation, NT Rick Scaffolding, Secret Spices, MFU Mutual, and No Place Like Home. They're the finalists in the Canterbury Business Awards. The awards dinners and the winners will all be announced later in the year. ZC Social Media also have Solutions in a Box, Social Media in a Box. It's not your standard journal. It's a journal with online training resources and one you can buy any time of the year that will have up to 15 months of planning tools. You can find out all about it. There's videos. There's all kinds of stuff there. If you go to zcsocialmedia.clickfunnels.com/salespage, you will find out all about Social Media in a Box. Bear with me a second. I'm just going to make sure that I've read as many of the tweets I do as I can. Amanda has tweeted, totally agree with that homeschooling advice. Thank you for that. What else have we got? Lots of people waving and saying hello. Diamond Circle Weddings, we love the Grand too. It's a fantastic place, isn't it? Neville Gaunt on cabin fever and working from home. Lisa at Smart PA. Loads of people saying hello and hi and wishing everybody well. Thank you for that. We're kind of at the end of the show now. So if I have missed your tweet, I'm really sorry. We will read it out next week. I'm just busily going through as much as I can. I think I've got most people. Anyway, if I've missed you, I apologise and I'll read you out next week. But we're kind of at the end of the show now. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to spend 2 hours with you. I hope you found it useful. Do keep your messages coming in future. Let's hope that everybody stays safe and well. Let's support each other. It's all about the business community. It's all about the local community. That's what keeps us all sane and helps us through this difficult time. Look after each other out there. We'll be back with another show next week on the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday at 1 p.m. A huge thank you to Fit for Trade for sponsoring the show. Without you, we couldn't be on air. But we'll be back next week with another show. Stay safe, everybody. Take care. Look after each other. And we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.